morning. So, can you hear?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alrighty. I got this one still for a moment. This morning we're going to go back and study into the book of Jude. And we'll pick that up. The book of Jude this morning. We'll continue reading our thoughts on it. Jude is the second to last book in the New Testament. It says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called mercy unto you, peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men pricked in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And we will stop here and read ahead as we need to go. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we just come to you and we ask, oh God, that you would just open your word to us, that we may understand the truths that are within God's word. Remember our father, our brother Jude here wrote about the dangers that's coming into the church at that time. We ask, oh God, that we would be on the lookout and be vigilant and constantly yearning to read God's word, to know the truth. So we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the warnings we'll read about today. And we ask that God would just lead and guide, and that everything be done in decency and in order. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we've been studying the book of Jude. And in this study, we discovered that Jude was indeed a servant. Jesus Christ. And a servant is a slave. And that's what he described himself as, a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find here that he was a brother of James. You can see. Excellent. And he's the brother of James. We also find in scripture that this young man wrote this particular book. He wrote it to remind us that there is false teaching that's going to occur. We'll look at some of that today. And he wants us to be vigilant. He wants us to be strong as we struggle to keep the faith, as we read their words, content in the faith that God has given to us, that we have learned. So there's a couple of things that we'll look at today. The dangers of false teaching. And also, we will not get to this, but the duty that we have to fight to maintain truth. As we said in our book study, Jude, who is indeed the brother of James, a servant, a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we also find that in that he was the, as the scripture says, one of the brothers of Jesus Christ himself, a half-brother of Jesus Christ. So just to look at this quick refreshing, it says here in Matthew that that when Jesus finished speaking the parables in Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, people said, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not Mary, his mother Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Judas is another full word for Jude. Jude was the short word. And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where did this man get all these things? And they were offended in here. So we have the family of Jesus was offended in the teachings of our Lord Jesus. And in John it says, neither did his brethren believe on him, in John chapter 7, verse 5. But after the resurrection, we find that James and Jude and the brothers and sisters, the half brothers of the Lord Jesus, was there after the resurrection with the Lord Jesus. So they were gathered together. They found the Lord, and their life was indeed changed. And then we find that in the scripture, there were certain three different things that Jude asked us to do. He says, listen, you've been sanctified. You've been sanctified, that means you've been separated, you've been made holy before God. But really what he's trying to say there is you're beloved of God. And it's a wonderful thing to know that we, as believers, are loved of God. And if we keep his commandments, Jesus says, then you love me, and I will love you. But God loves us so. And so we find that we are beloved of God. We also find that it's good to know that we are preserved. It says preserved by Jesus Christ. And when we are preserved, we think of the words in which we're kept by the power of God. We look unto him for our strength. And believers are preserved blamelessly in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. And we have this preservation. We have this an inheritance in heaven because of what our Lord Jesus has done. So we're kept by the power of God. And then we're called. And it's good to know that God called us. We're called saints. We're called by God. And we're called to have fellowship with one another and with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're actually called a child of God. And we look at these great pillars in which a believer has in Jesus Christ. But not only that, but the end of this first verse, he says that you should have the mercy of God, the peace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God. It's good that mercy is the idea of judgment that is being withheld from us. And then we have the peace of God in our lives that Jesus gives. He says, peace I give unto you, none as the world give I unto you. It's a special peace we have when we come to know Jesus as our Savior, and we know that we've been loved by God. And one of the nice verses that we have here, where we think that we're loved of God, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. From Romans chapter 8 talks about that. And so then we talked about Jude said in verse 3 that we should urgently fight for the faith. We went through like six different topics in which we looked at the fact that we should know the truth, know God's word, grow in Jesus Christ, and that we should live by faith. All of this is coming in from reading God's word and understanding it. And then there are many things that can separate us, even believers. But what we have together is we can understand that simple things of faith. We can understand righteousness, resurrection, holiness. These things that should not separate us from one another. We need to be careful, as Jude has warned us, we'll find out later, what we hear, what other people say. And what we hear should go back and check God's word. It says there in Acts chapter 17 that the Bereans heard Paul the Apostle preaching. And they went back and they searched the scriptures and checked to see that he was saying what Paul was saying matched with the scripture. So that's important for each and every one of us. We have a responsibility ourselves to go into the scripture, not just listening, but to go into the scripture and searching to see what the scripture says, to make sure that the person who's speaking is matching with God's word. And then we're to help people. Yes, right there in Jude, talk about people being pulling them onto the fire. But we need to help people to recover themselves under the snare of the devil who has taken them captive by his will, as 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 to 26. So there are people, believers, sometimes get drawn away. And so we are to go and have mercy. Urgently fight for the faith. These are the things that we should be keeping in mind. And one of the other aspects that when our Lord Jesus comes, the verse is, will there be people in the faith? So I hope that when the Lord sees us, we are deep, trusting, and believing in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's continue. We talked about here, as we picked up the last time, it says here that earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered to the saints. So we have in scripture that Jude is writing, we live in a very good time today. Back then when people lived under the time of Jude, they did not have the complete Bible as we have today. And so we live in a very good time because we can go back and see everything Paul wrote, all the apostles wrote, I mean, or the life of Jesus by the four different, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we have all, everything put together in one. But then, they didn't have it at that time, in the early time when just after Jesus left, they didn't have all of this. This is almost 2,000 years ago. So today we have a complete Word of God. So now, the things that were delivered unto us, right? As it says here, delivered unto the saints. Well, we have saints, we're all believers today, we have God's Word. So let us keep God's Word, read it, and that's what we're going to get our strength and understanding from, and to fight off recognizing false teaching. And so here, the scripture talks about the fact that there's some things you're supposed to remember. And one of the things which you remember is the breaking of bread. We know the verse is there in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. When the people got saved, they kept studying the apostles' doctrine. They kept fellowshipping one with another. And they kept in the breaking of bread and in prayer. So that's, as we think of the faith that's once been delivered unto us, we are to maintain fellowship and think of the scriptures. Remember, all these scriptures, the Holy Bible, this Bible that's given to us right now that we read, has been inspired by the Spirit of God to the writers, to the apostles, to the prophets. And we have it today, the complete scripture for us to follow. So let's go to verse 4. It says, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying our only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So, what does this mean? Here, we need to get this word apostasy. Now, we'll talk about this subject today, in which, you know, you go and check the dictionary, what is apostasy? It talks about refusing to continue in the faith that you once knew. Refusing to recognize it. But when we think of it today, in our spiritual sense, and we're reading God's Word, He actually talks about turning away from Christ and going after false teaching, a false way. And so there's a warning in the book of Jude about dangers of the teachers, about false teachers that have come into this church. And so we're going to examine a few of this construct and be careful, this area of apostasy. So the old writings of apostasy would say it's also rebellion against God. Jude is actually going to detail a few of that ideas later in a few verses. But anyhow, so you have this concept of people turning away. People coming into the church, people teaching and turning away from being an apostate. And so what happens? First of all, we have the secret people coming in here, as it says here, unawares. They come in unawares. They secretly sit in. As some people say, they come in through a different door. And we have two doors here. And we hope that when you came in this time today, you came in with a heart to praise the Lord, to worship the Lord, a heart to repentance. There's a sense of forgiveness of sins that we can have in Jesus, so we came to worship. But there's some people that come into church and they come with different intentions. They have wicked intentions. And Jude is warning about that. And in certain parts of the scripture, 1 John chapter 2, verse 29, it talks about the fact that, or 19, it talks about the fact that people leaving the church, But no, there are people out there with intentions who wants to come into the church. And their whole job is to break down the church, is to weaken the churches, is to minimize sin. And so that's, you thought this is something that happened 2,000 years ago, it happens today. People are here to just not make God, the Lord, the priority in church life. I had a great uncle that was discussing with my father about sin. And he sat down and he was telling my father, he said, sin is self-inflicted nonsense. Now, he's a churchman. And so there, these people, you know, they profess to believe in the grace of God. They profess to understand the riches of God's blessing that they have in his life, things we didn't deserve, but God gave it to you anyhow. Each and every day, we have heavenly blessings and earthly blessings. And then they literally refuse to recognize some of the things that God wants. And they actually do it to indulge in their own sin. They do it to indulge in their own sin and their own lusts. They do it to indulge in their own sin and their own lusts. And so we have there two quick examples in scripture. Really, one was Judas, who was the Lord Jesus Christ, who betrayed the Lord Jesus for money. Judas is going to talk about that a little bit. And then we have here a scripture that is being, we should know most well, and we've been looking in Galatians in our book. And if you turn to Galatians chapter 2, we've been doing that on a Wednesday night study. The verses that says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 4, again, these are people creeping in. And it says in verse 4 of Galatians 2, and that because false brethren, unawares brought in, same idea, who came into privately to spy out the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ, that they might bring us again into bondage. And what's the result? To whom Paul said we gave no place of subjection, no, not one hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. And so we have this Paul is saying, we will not accept this. And this is something we're going to look about a little later. But anyhow, we have here these men that creeped in. They were of old, of this condemnation. They had a condemnation. God was going to judge them anyhow. And you see in scripture that God is going to judge people who intentionally try to persuade people in the wrong direction. And so here he's going to condemn them for their ungodly acts, for their perverting minds that they have, for their accepting gross immorality and behavior, and even denying Christ and even using lofty words. So God is going to condemn them. And that's why you read in this part here. They had pleasure in doing things that destroy what God had directed them for. They twist God's truth. And they also dilute the gospel of Jesus Christ for their own opinion and for their own wrong behavior, even for their own life choices. So we have here, these are people, they creep into the church, they sound very well, and we find that if all God has put them for condemnation, God said they're also ungodly men. Ungodly is like they have a lack of reverence for God. And they sometimes condemn God, and yet they're in the church, and yet they're turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. And that is actually the blessings that God has given you every day, the grace of God, that we didn't deserve. Because of Jesus Christ, we have this great blessing. So we have the blessings of God He's given to us, they turn it into a lustful, shameful way of living. As we read there, as we look in Galatians chapter 5, gross immorality. They take the liberty that you have in Jesus Christ and they use it, Jesus, and they, Paul says, don't give your liberty on occasion to go after sinful living. But we should love one another. The scripture Romans 1 Romans chapter 6 says, what shall we do? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We should not do so. And Romans 6, 12 to 14, it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lust thereof. Neither shall your members be as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, but you are not under the law, but under grace. So we have the idea is that these people come in, they're turning, twisting their words for the grace of God into their shameful living, excessive immoral lives, and they're telling people this. And so we're just telling you in response that you should not be like that. You should not take the freedoms in which God has saved you from to go back to those days. And you should don't continue to sin. That's what the scripture is saying. Don't continue to obey the lust of the body. And we also find that they deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And they don't believe in the things of God. Sometimes they deny the fact that God and His Son are one. They deny this. And we find many churches today separate that Christ was equal with God. And we know scripture says, who being the form of God, thought it not, Jesus himself thought it not equal to be with God. Our Lord Jesus went to the cross for reasons why the Jews hated him. They hated him because he made himself equal with God. That's something they did not like. So let's look at some examples now of some false teachers that were at the time of the early church. And you'll find that from thousands of years ago, these false teachers are no different than what we see today. So let's look at some of the scripture here of the false teachers that were in the church, okay? It says here in the scripture in verse 4, what are these false teachers? Because many writers in the Old Testament gave warnings, or in the scripture, gave warnings to all of us about false teachers. And so as they gave some warnings, they said, Peter said there in 2 Peter chapter 2, and you can just turn to that if you desire. 2 Peter chapter 2, just a couple of pages back there. It says, but there were false prophets who among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them. Same thing we're just reading in Jude. And bring upon themselves swift destruction. We also read that in Jude. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. They're going to be people who will follow their wicked, their shameful ways. And for by reason of whom the will of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through their covetousness, they would frame words, make merchandise of you. So we have here a warning that goes out to false teachers. And it happens that they are immoral people, they accept immoral practices in their lives, and they allow their people to actually continue to accept these immoral practices. And then we find here that they encourage other people to live immorally. They're also greedy. They're also after your money. And so we just read here in 2 Peter, we talk about that. They make merchandise of you. And that's their primary motive, is to make money. And then we have their lie. So sometimes they speak a half truth. They don't speak the full truth of what God says. They hold back some parts of the scripture so you don't get the full story. So we find here that these things existed back then. Is it today? You'll find the same thing. And then we find here in the Word of God, it declared that it says these false teachers are like grievous wolves that enter in. It's a warning to the elders of the church. That it says there in Acts chapter 2, Paul is writing. And I know that after my decease, he says there, that grievous wolves shall enter into among you, not sparing the flock. And also, of you yourselves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. So the false teachers, they come in. It isn't like, you know, as we said in John, in 1 John, people want to leave. No, they want to come in. They're just wicked in their heart. And then we also find that these false teachers have a tendency to deny, even make fun of the return of Jesus Christ our Lord. They're not even looking forward to this concept of which they are expecting to see the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Peter says that, it says they in the last days that become scoffers. People are laughing. They're laughing. And they're walking after the flesh saying, where is it coming? Where is the coming of God? We haven't seen the Lord come in 2,000 years. Why do you expect to see him now? Now this was done, again, 2,000 years ago. They're saying the same things that happened today. It's so good to know that the word of God is still yet relevant. So let no one deceive you. Because the scripture says the day of the Lord is going to come. Is going to come. And it shall be a falling away first. Okay? So we have in here the false prophets, the false teachers. They're grievous wolves. They deny the Lord Jesus Christ. They're doing it. They're immoral. They allow and accept immorality. And they're doing it for money, as well as they're not telling the full truth. These are people trying to turn away people from serving the Lord. The next thought that we can think of that in the early church back then, there were still troubles, fighting. Fighting is disputes that took place in the church back then. So whether they are people that caused this separation, that caused this breaking apart, we ask that we should not fear, but that God would continue to give strength, that he can keep us together in the love of God. And then we have also, we've been looking in Galatians about legalism, we've been looking about the law of Moses, we just read in a sense that there are people who want you to go back to the law of Moses. In order for you to be saved, in order for you to have salvation, you have to keep every single commandment of the Ten Commandments. I mean, Christ died for that. He was the one that took all the commandments himself. He bore all your sin. He died for that. And so therefore, there's no need to go back into that bondage. The liberty we have in Jesus Christ. He bought us. He separated us from us. And so we have the joy and the fellowship of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have here the teachings of that too. But then back then there was this group called the Gnostics. They were the Gnostics. They believed that two little concepts. First, there was some sort of higher power that you can have. That you know, you Christians are missing something else. You need something else beyond just Christ. You need the higher power. And so extra knowledge, and that's what the Gnostics believe, was a heresy, you would say about them. Just gonna read this word here. It says, on the matter of salvation, the Gnosticism teaches that salvation is gained through the acquisition of divine knowledge, which frees us from the illusion of darkness. Although they claim to follow Jesus Christ and his original teaching, the Gnostics contradict him at every turn. And it says, we know full well that Jesus said, and we know from the word of God, that salvation, true knowledge, he didn't preach that. We find about salvation by faith. Remember, it is by grace that you've been saved. True faith, and not of yourself, the gift of God, not of works as any man should boast. You've been saved by faith. Jesus died for us all. He wants us to have the free gift. And then they also talk about your body, the Gnostics. Not just talk about this extra knowledge, but they also talk about your body. Your body is wicked, it's evil. Okay, we know that we're all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So yes, so they said, well, the problem is, you know, the body is evil, and that's including your physical, but the Gnostics believe that anything done in the body, even the grossest sin, has no meaning because real life exists in the spiritual realm only. So they accept the fact that you can do any sin and it's okay, come back to church. Praise God, because that's your body. It's going to, it's nothing. So the spirit lives on forever. Again, a little confused, but we have a few things in scripture we can counter this idea with. First of all, in Colossians chapter 2, it talks about, Jesus is saying in Colossians chapter, Paul is saying in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, it says there, that is, if you have received Christ Jesus of the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding herein with thanksgiving, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. You have to be careful. People come in, work sounds sweet and nice. It is philosophy and vain deceit. After tradition men, and after the rudiments of this world, the elements of this world, and not after Christ. But in Christ dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Christ. You complete in him, and he is the head and the principle of quality and power, all principality and power. So we have there that be careful, Paul is writing, be careful, you've been establishing the faith. I want you to keep there. Listen to what you've been taught, read God's words you've been taught, but there are people out there willing to spoil you, willing to bring false philosophy and deceit, lies to you. And so therefore, remember that Christ came in the flesh. He died in the flesh, yes, but he was yet God. And yet he died for your sins, and we are complete. He's given us all knowledge and power. We don't need any supernatural and unique knowledge in order to find our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we continue studying, what shall we do? It says here in the scripture, we need to be careful about what people say. But then, so 2 John, chapter 2 and verse 26 talks about this. First John 2 and verse 26, it says this, John is writing, these things I write unto you concerning them that seduce you. We need to be careful about the people that seduce us. It says here in verse 27, 1 John, not 2. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not to turn any man to teach you, but the same anointing teaches you all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as it is taught you, you shall abide in him. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit. It's there to teach us. It anointed us. And it's there to teach us. So the Spirit of God would guide you, lead you into all truth. It doesn't lie. And it says here, and we can be taught. So we need to be careful about those who are out here to give us sweet words to seduce us and to change us. And we also to avoid divisions. So the scripture talks about the fact Romans said there in Romans chapter 16 that there's sometimes there are divisions that come in you hear from people in the church. And we are to avoid people that create division. So Romans 16, and it says there in verse 17, it says, now you see true brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Avoid them. Verse 18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. You read about that. And by good words and fair speeches deceives the heart of the simple. So we have here that we're to avoid people who come in to create divisions about the Lord Jesus Christ and the things about the doctrine of the Word of God. And we're to avoid them. Again, they're doing it for different reasons, for themselves and for their own satisfaction. And then we talked about the fact that the new one here, Galatians, Paul again, this is a very strong statement that Paul is saying, because again, Paul was, he visited the churches in Galatia. Every time he was on his missionary trip, he passed by them. But he was so shocked at the change in the church there in Galatia. And he said, listen, I marvel that you were so soon removed from him that called you into his grace, the grace of Christ, to another gospel, something different. So Paul did not like, he was stunned. And so he asked that you would not be called away. And he says, if any angel or anyone teaches something other than the gospel that we're being preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. So we need to recognize that we should really get rid of those people that preach something different, because they're only doing it for their own destruction. And so what, again, is the conclusion as we look at God's word today? It says here, false teachers come in. They come into the church. We need to be careful. They are indeed the creeping unawares. They come in secretly. They are people, they come in, they're ungodly. They want to change the grace of God that you have learned, God's blessings, into some shameful living. And they also deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find here that these false teachers, they themselves live an immoral life. And they also are working with you living an immoral life. And some of them, they do it for money. They greed, they're lying, they tell the half-truth. And then we find that they come into the church. They want to be there. And so we find there's a warning to go out, that the Lord is coming soon. He will also judge them, as we just read here in Jude 4. And we should just turn to Acts chapter 17 as we just end this for a second. Acts 17. I said this in the beginning before, as we conclude these verses, that everyone can be just like these people in Acts chapter 17. We can be like the Bereans. What did they do? Paul, the great Paul the Apostle, even though he was preaching, this is what they said. All right. So immediately in verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night unto Berea, who, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? In that they received the word of God, right? The word that Paul was saying, with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And they, therefore, many of them believed, also the honorable women which were Greeks, and men, and not a few. So we have this concept. Paul comes into town, he's preaching, and they went scurrying through the scriptures. Is that what he said? Where do I find that? In the Old Testament. Well, today we have the Old Testament and the New Testament. So if somebody comes and says something to you, I'll take it back. I'm going to go home and come back and ask you another time. And you go and you scurry the scripture. And by doing that, there's going to be joy. Your life will be fruitful. And you learn to recognize false teaching. Our God and Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you for this little special time, Father, in which we can come before you and know that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by your Lord Jesus Christ. No one can come to God except through you. We thank you that God came down through his Son in a body just like you and I to suffer and to die for our sins. And he rose again. Oh, what a joy it is that we can have a life full of joy, full of peace, know that our sins are forgiven. We pray, our God, for the assembly. We pray, our God, that for the saints, that they would continue to search the scriptures and they would see the joy and the beauty that the word of God, even though it was written so long ago, is still alive today, relevant in our lives today, knowing that we're all sinners, condemned, needing of salvation. And there are people who are here to destroy that, to destroy our own lives. We know, Father, that their lives are already condemned already. But we ask, for God, as we continue from day to day, we look unto you for your strength. We know that we've been kept by the power of God. We know that we are loved of you. We are preserved in you. And I thank you, God, that we're called by you. So our salvation that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ continue to reassure us every day. And the Spirit of God to comfort us and to teach us every day. We pray this now as we go forward. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.